And we'll continue with you, please, because we have a report and discussion, if needed, from the Bogdan Group.
All right. And we do have Richard here, and he will take us through the third quarter report. And it is as dated as September 30th.
September 30th.
As opposed to August 31st. So I'll turn it over to Richard.
All the comparative data to other plans and whatever is through September 30th. And I believe, as everyone knows, the September quarter was the worst quarter in the last 4 years of investment performance. If you turn to page 2 in the report, you see that if you were an international stock, you had a significant drawdown. Miski Aquis U.S. was down 12.2%. EFA was down 10.2%. Emerging markets was down almost 18%. A very, very bad, if you will, quarter for international stocks. Not a lot better from the domestic area. The S&P down 6.4. The Russell 3000, which also covers not only the S&P 500, but basically most actively traded securities, including large and small cap, was down 7.2, which was pulled down significantly by the small cap area that was down almost 12%. So a very, very tough time in the equity markets for the quarter. Which pretty much brought us into very slightly negative numbers domestically from the standpoint of the last trailing 12 months. International stocks still had significantly negative numbers for the trailing 12 months. The flight, if you will, to quality and the trying to park assets actually had a positive effect in the bond market, primarily driven in the Treasury area. The Treasuries were up 2.9% for the trailing year. Most all of that was due to the coupon or interest on those securities. We could go through style by style, but quite frankly, wherever you were in the domestic market, you had negative returns for the quarter, and you had a kind of a bifurcation or a splitting of results in the equity market for the 1 year time frame, with value being under significant pressure with negative returns, growth having positive returns. The Russell 3000 value was down 4.2%, and 3000 growth was up 3.2%. That's huge, and that's not normally something that you see happen. Any questions on the overall market? Which, quite frankly, tells you that when we look at the numbers from the plan, are probably not going to look so good. On page 4. As we know, there's been significant pressure in energy, and in the energy area, in the large energy companies, was down 31%. The smaller energy companies, those covered in the Russell 2000, were down for the quarter almost 33%, and on a trailing 1 year basis down 55%. So very, very tough time in the energy market. Earlier we saw that whether you were in the quarter or you in the year, you had negative returns out of international, and that's also put forth on page 6. But it was just an absolutely tough time frame for traded securities. On page 8, looking at the bond market, There's been a significant flight to quality. The yield spreads have opened up between the high yield area and governments and AAAs. High yield for the quarter was down almost 5%, while the AAA was up 1.5%. So a significant variance happening there. And on a one-year basis, basically AAA, AAA, all up, you know, around the 3% area, which is, you know, basically coupon. The high yield area was off 3.4%, which shows a significant, if you will, degradation in the capital value of high yield securities. The dollar, strength of the dollar, caused significant problems in the global bond area as international bonds traded down because of the significant strength in the dollar that was happening over the last year. Any questions on market information? On pages 10 and 11, we get a look at the overall diversification of the plan. We've had, on the domestic side and on the international side, diversification across the equity markets, traded equity markets, traded real estate markets, and in the energy infrastructure with MLPs. The diversification has been very nice. The thing we're missing, though, is to have some additional diversification out of those factors which are not influenced by the emotional factors that hit the market from time to time that cause it to overreact either on the upside or the downside.
Richard?
Yes.
Is that cash? Is that because we made the contribution we planned?
Yes, it is.
Primarily,
no,
yes.
$600,000.
Like 800,000.
I can't remember. I know it's a lot. Okay. I assume that's where the cash came from.
Yes.
So.
Right. I mean, a big difference, if you will, from the time frame in June where we overall had, you know, 155,000 in cash to 851. From the standpoint of managers, we have high degree of diversification. All of our large cap, though, happens to be with the BBH Core Select in our small to mid cap area with the Royce Premier. Diversification within to the international area with Harbor International, and further diversification down in the fixed income area between the Vanguard Short Term Investment Grade, PIMCO TACOPS, and the Metropolitan West Intermediate Bond Fund, all of which I think are doing very, very nicely for the plan in the fixed income area. As we saw earlier with the problems that hit the equity area, we're going to see some negative returns here recently out of equities. And the Credit Suisse and UBS, Alerian, MLP infrastructure assets, one of which the Credit Suisse is equal weighted, and the UBS is market or capitalization weighted within the index, so that we have further diversification there. Any questions on overall diversification? As we talked, as earlier was pointed out, there was a trending down, if you will, in overall assets. The month of September 2014, we had 21.3 million in assets. As of the end of September 2015, 19.9 million in assets. Paying out, over $1 million worth of benefits, and then having an $800,000 contribution in that over that time frame. page 13, as far as targets, what we're trying to target with the overall asset allocation, we're fairly close in most areas, with really the exception of MLPs, which have had, were under significant pressure over the last year. It's really kind of a bath, you know, baby bathwater type of a situation. The MLPs are really infrastructure. They're not commodity. But because the energy commodity and primarily oil has sold off significantly over the last 12 months, MLPs have pretty much traced down at the same rate as the larger oil companies, off 30%. And that just from the standpoint of the overall underlying values of those entities is presents what could be a very, very good buying opportunity in the MLP space. The distribution growth continues at a little bit less than it was before, but it's still there. The yields have run up significantly because of that sell-off. And there's a lot of value right now within the MLP infrastructure space, because as the price of the energy goes down, there should be a higher demand for it, more use out of it. And the transportation and storage of that energy should still be, collecting the tolls. And so the overall return in there should continue at the same type of pace as it has in the past, if not even increase a little bit. And as we move forward, I think that'll be recognized by the market, and there would be some additional benefit from MLPs.
I got a question. This is Peter.
Yes.
Is this Richard?
Yes.
Good morning, Richard. The MLP investments that we've made that have depreciated pretty significantly, they've continued to make about a 7.5% return as far as net income cash flow. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And that will continue, that income stream will continue. Or will it be adjusted?
Well, it's expected that income stream would continue. Normally, there's between 5 to 10% distribution growth within MLPs because of underlying inflation factors within the contracts, and with additional distribution growth, that may slow down a little bit. But the current income stream itself should continue the way it is.
But can't that be adjusted, Richard, downward or upward, the income stream?
Well, from the standpoint of MLPs and the way in which they operate, 90% of their earnings have to be distributed.
Right.
So if their earnings are not really impacted, then that stream is going to continue.
But if their earnings go down, that stream is going to be impacted.
That's right.
Accordingly.
That's right. But since they are the storage and transportation device, that should not be impacted the same way that the commodity was impacted.
Generally, volumes will eventually start trending down, so their total revenue will go down.
Why would volumes trend down?
Typically, the inputs are at higher rates. When prices go down, those inputs are now affected by fewer new high-producing wells that take up the capacity in that line, and while they still move significant amounts, they're not taking the last 15 to 20% of capacity, or making their targeted capacity, because of fewer additions to new production.
Right, and that was what I was talking about earlier about the increased distribution growth. I don't know that there should be too much pressure on the downside, and there's some things coming in the line that bode well, because most of the MLP pipelines and those types of things are associated with the movement of natural gas. And there's just been opened, or right about now to be opened, the first distribution point in the U.S., which is in New Orleans, for liquefied natural gas to be exported, which should increase the flow, you know, if you will, through that area. There's still an increased demand for natural gas in the Northeast. And the transportation of that gas through the pipelines, I don't think it's going to slow down at all.
Well, I don't have the specifics on this MLP and what their points of you know, what lines they are actually that we own. But
right.
Yeah, you'd be correct. Natural gas is not the same as oil, that's for sure. But a lot of the natural gas matters are typically, you know, just increasing production by increasing the choke size, and they, you know, when the demand is there, the price is there, they'll produce more, no doubt. But typically, when the demand, you know, is equal, or let's say prices are have trended down, but let's say they stay where they are, at a low, below economic rate. For new inputs, the lines typically reduce in volume. But again, if these are major lines, it may not be as impacted. But that's what I've seen typically. So, you know, each line is different, though. Each point of delivery is different for each terminal. And you know, St. James has been a premium point, so but others haven't been, and but anyway, I don't want to delay, so we can keep going.
Yeah.
The point being is that certainly the value of these lines has gone down in the market, no doubt, of these partnerships, and there's a reason for that, and they haven't gone down just a little bit; they've gone down pretty significantly.
Right, there should, you know, there very well be some reason for them to go down a little bit, but there's no reason for them to go down the same degree that the commodity has gone down, because that commodity still has to get to the marketplace. Having been said, I really think that we should rebalance, if you will, towards a target in the MLP space, and put some of that additional cash that's in the plan into that area.
That's a double down, in other words?
Yeah. Agenda item
double?
Number three. It's
agenda
three.
Oh, okay. Agenda item. I guess it is agenda item three, but
yeah,
it's basically bringing us back towards, not fully back, but somewhat back towards the target.
Yes.
And the one thing, I guess, that we learned through the debacle of 2008 was, basically, if you didn't rebalance and put assets back into those areas that had been impacted the most, then when the market recovers, you wouldn't have the overall assets there to recover quite as well with it.
It's true.
Richard, have we sold off any of that MLP? I noticed there was a transfer somewhere in there.
No, I think if you're looking at transfer, it very well could be income that's been thrown off from the MLP that went into the disbursement account. But there's been no, that I know of, sale of.
Uh, Yeah, of the $2 million we've invested, there's been no sale of our position.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. On pages 14 and 15 are, you know, I guess a reconciliation of the movement of funds over time, quarter to date and year to date. And earlier, as we talked about year to date, we've gone from 21.8 million down to 19.9 million, with an 800 and some odd $1,000 contribution and $2.3 million in distributions, and a deterioration, if you will, in unrealized loss. And also income of over $400,000. On page 16 and 17, we get a look at the overall returns of into the fund over the last time frame up to the five-year area and the since inception area, which is basically December of 2005, which was as far back as we were able to get return numbers from the prior consultant. As I said earlier, because of what was going on in the marketplace, we were going to have negative returns. And for the quarter, the overall plan was down 6.5%. Year to date, down almost 7%. And 1 year, down 6%. 3 years, 4.8 return, and 5 years, 6.5% return, and since inception, or down back into 2005, 4.4%. This most recent year has had a significant amount of pressure in the overall return pattern to the plan. Equities were down 8.5% for the quarter. And for the trailing 1 year, down 6.4. And for the 5 year time frame, a positive 8.8%. It's been hard, as you know, to make any type of return out of fixed income assets, which had a significant, if you will, draw on the overall portfolio for the last 5 years. Adding some stability here, though, over the last quarter. Domestic equity for the quarter was down almost 7%. The overall Russell 3000 and was down about 7.8%, and for the trailing year, we were down almost 5%, with the overall market itself down slightly negative. Both of the equity managers underperformed at that time, as you can see. Brown Brothers Harriman down 3.25%, and Royce Premier down almost 10% for the trailing 1 year time frame. For the 5 year time frame, we did not have Brown Brothers at that time frame, but we did have the Royce Premier, and they had a positive 7.7%. But that 7.7 was 4% below their benchmark, which had an 11.7% return.
Richard, question.
Yes.
Why does BBH continue to underperform the S&P when that's basically what it is?
Brown Brothers has been, if you want to call it, been on the value, had a value tilt here more recently, and growth has been the name of the game, number one. Number two, they tended to be in higher quality securities, which during the big upswing that was over the up quarters over the last year tended to trail. And I don't know that that's going to continue, but they have seemed to reverse their underperformance more recently on a year-to-date basis, if you will, from the versus the S&P 500.
Well, if you go out there and read your page, they basically claim that they're a core bank.
Yes, they are. They are core.
So what you're saying is they've got a tilt toward value then?
Well, core, you know, supposedly has both value and growth in the portfolio. And they tended to be tilted more that way. But one of the things is more recently, and the real, I don't know what you want to call it, benefit of Brown Brothers, when they get we get into an extended down market, they tend to significantly outperform. Our markets have been so volatile that we've been in and out and in and out and in and out. More recently here, where we've had a little bit longer period of negative performance in the market, like for on a year-to-date basis, they have continued to underperform. But on the last quarter, when the market really got hammered, they were a little bit better than the index. I think in the last 6 months they were also better than the index.
Okay. What's their turnover percentage? Do you know offhand?
I do not. I do not know what it is offhand. But I believe historically their turnover has been very low.
That's what I wondered. You'd think so if that's their objective is the core, but I'm just curious
right. How
much they've moved.
Right. And Royce Premier has not just underperformed, but significantly underperformed. The 1 year time frame being down 10% versus the Russell 2000, which was up 1%, is significant pressure. And quite frankly, and I put it in the write up. We didn't have a meeting for the second quarter, but I put in the write up that I think we should replace the Royce Premier fund. And that's still a recommendation. There's, because of the meeting agendas today, we couldn't get that on the agenda, but I'm going to leave you a SMID cap review, which includes Royce Premier and which also includes what I think would be viable options, and it's pretty, it's apparent when you look through that, and if we're lucky enough, and hopefully we are, to be continue to work with you next year, then the next meeting you'll have a head start on being able to talk about replacing that option. It seems to me that their underperformance has just carried on, far too long. In the international area, the Harbor International Fund has underperformed here recently from the standpoint of the latest quarter. They did better than the Aquiex U.S. on the year-to-date basis and on the one-year basis and had better performance over the full five-year time frame or a little bit over 5 years that they've been managing the assets with better than a 1%. Return over the index, and those returns are net of fees. In the fixed income area, we replaced, and quite frankly, I guess going back talking about the total plan performance and other areas over a longer period of time, embedded in those lower than average return numbers are the BlackRock numbers, which we replaced BlackRock about 3 years ago now, and have hopefully got a better team going forward with that area. I'm absolutely certain we do in the fixed income area. In the fixed income area, the Metropolitan West Bond Fund, over the last 3 years that we've had them, has a 0.5% positive return over the index. Vanguard short-term investment grade is pretty much right on with their bogey, both of which compared to other bond managers in the investment grade intermediate area rank in the 4th and 5th percentiles. So they're doing very, very well on a relative, and quite frankly, dealing in the fixed income area on absolute basis. The PIMCO TACOPS has had significantly positive returns over the last year. We've had them up 8% compared to 3% for the aggregate index. And that opportunistic type of approach has proved to add value to the fund. Very happy about that. We talked earlier, this is where we've had some real negative impact on the fund, which is the infrastructure being impacted to the same degree as the commodity, with MLPs being down 39% over the trailing 12 months and a negative 5% over the three-year time frame. That should not continue. We're continuing to get significant income off of it, and I don't believe that that income stream should be significantly impacted at all going forward. The total real estate area has produced significant positive returns over the last year, up 7% for the 1 year time frame, 10% for the 3 years, which has added, if you will, significant value to the plan. The 10% for, you know, moving, we moved assets out of equity into the real estate area in the form of liquid real estate. And that has added significant value over the last 3 years. Any questions on performance? Yeah, the following couple of pages are just what's happened on the trailing years. We could look at that if you'd like. And on page 21, I did have them run a quote-unquote flash report on the returns to the plan through October. As you can see, in the month of October, we're up 5.5%, which brought the fiscal year to date up to a negative 3.5%. And the trailing 1 year to a negative 1.6%, 3 years 6.61, excuse me, and the 5 years up back up to a 7.2%. So, some additional benefit out of October. November is proving to be a very difficult month. I don't know what else to say. It's just an amazingly volatile market right now. And I guess the one thing that has, you know, helped some of our clients are the exposure to some of the private and less, if you will, factors of the market that would be exposed to emotional price. pages 22 and 23 are just additional information through October 31 with the market value of the fund now up, or through October anyway, up to $20.8 million. Still the under allocation to MLPs, which I think would be really good if we could move that more towards TARP.
That will be our next item.
Yes. The rest of the report are really graphic portrayals of the overall performance of the fund. And because of the exposure to the energy infrastructure and the underperformance in the equity manager space, caused the overall plan return to be quite low over the last year. Any questions?
When are you going to make it go back up?
Even 3 years ago, you know, you remember that value versus growth chart? It was pretty much flipped the other way, you know, and we do have the value bias in it with MLPs, and so
I think your longer-looking charts show that value has outperformed growth over longer periods of time, somewhat consistently.
Yes.
Which would indicate that there's more risk associated with value than there is with growth, which is true because you're forced to buy things when they're out of favor and nobody wants to mess with them, which will be agenda item number 3 unless there's more questions on this.
Any questions?
Well, thank you very much, Richard. We appreciate it.